Please stand in body or in spirit. Behold the Lamb of God.
Takes away the sin of the world.
We gather at his gracious invitation to come and see. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are kept to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you, and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in the mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, and in his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to be restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slaves of the rulers. Kings shall see and stand up. Princes shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the one Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 40 responsively with me. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry.
He drew me out from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not have to turn to the proud, for those who go astray after false gods.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell them, they would be more than can be counted.
Sacrifice. You have given me an open ear. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required.
Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.
I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.
I have told them the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
Sealed your steadfast love.
Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Jesus Christ. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The next day he saw Jesus. The next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was standing with two of his own disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see. Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4:00 in the afternoon or so. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. How did he know it was 4:00 in the afternoon? Did he have a watch? I was confused by that this week as I read the text. A sundial? I suppose. This is not my story that I'm about to share, but it is a true story as far as I can tell. It was written in a place where I trust that it was true. There was a seminary professor. He had an already busy life and an unusually hectic schedule at that time. His schedule, it was overloaded with commitments, and his pace had become unsustainable. Not sure any of us could resonate with that, but anyway, one day a colleague had noticed this change in his friend, had seen how unsustainable the pace had become, and insisted that they go to lunch. Great, one more thing to do. But it was urgent, said the friend. So sitting down at the table, the professor asked, "All right, what's wrong? Because we've been trained to think urgent must certainly mean there's something wrong, right? Urgent means bad news." His colleague smiled and said, "I have good news." Confused, the professor pressed for an explanation, and the friend declared, "I want you to know that the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come." And now the professor, this busy professor, was also annoyed. How was this urgent? He knew that the Messiah had come, so he demanded an explanation. And his friend continued, "And you know the even better news? You are not him. You are not the Messiah." This is pretty good news, right? This is not my story, but it could be my story, and probably your story too. Because we overload ourselves, we overcommit ourselves, we place the world's burdens squarely on our shoulders, don't we? Because we're convinced that this world would probably stop spinning if it weren't for us. It all depends on us. If we don't save the world, who will? We think. It's a bit of self-importance. Maybe it's a bit of self-salvation. But we do care, right? We want to see the world better, saved. If we don't save the world, who will? Randy, do you have a picture for me? A painting to show? All right. So, this is the Eisenheim altarpiece. It was painted a long time ago, far, far away, by Matthias Grunewald. Matthias Grunewald. It's really big. It probably, when you put it up on a wall, it's bigger than what we're showing it here. This is an enormous altarpiece. The focal point, the center of this altarpiece, is Jesus. But not just any Jesus. A mangled, disfigured Jesus hanging on a cross. And as I look at this altarpiece, as I look at this Jesus hanging on a cross, this disfigured man hanging on a cross, it occurs to me that perhaps Lamb of God, Savior of the world, Messiah, maybe that's not the job I want. It might not be such a glamorous job after all. Now, on the left side of this altarpiece, we see a man who has an absurdly long index finger. Ridiculously long index finger. It's the right side? What? My other left. Left side, this left. It doesn't matter. On one of the sides, you see the guy, right? All right, follow me here. There's a guy on the picture with an absurdly long index finger. I originally had right, and then I crossed it off and put left. I don't understand these things. He's pointing to Jesus, and he's pointing to the cross, as if to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." As you may have figured out, that really long index finger, this person that's standing either to the left or to the right of Jesus, is John the Baptist. That finger belongs to John the Baptist. Which makes sense because John spends a lot of time pointing at Jesus. John is a man with disciples of his own. He has, in this story, two disciples of his own that are following him. And yet he says, don't look at me. It's not about me. Look instead at this man, Jesus. Look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look to Jesus, says John. Look at the cross, says John. This is where you will find the Lamb of God. Look to the cross. This is where you will find the Messiah. This is where you will find the Savior of the world. John does not point to himself. Why? Because he is not the Messiah. John does not point to the halls of power. He does not point to the Emperor Tiberius. He does not point to Pilate. He does not point to King Herod. Why? Because they are not the Messiahs. Our leaders are not going to save us. And guess what? He does not point us. He does not point to us. He does not direct us to look in a mirror. Because guess what? We are not the Messiahs either. But do you know where he does point? He points to Jesus. He says, there, right there, that is your Messiah. Here's the thing about this, though. Like, I know this. I believe this. This resonates with me. And yet, I spend at least 60% of my time walking around this world thinking that I am indeed the Messiah. I think that it's my job to save the world. I'll call it my Messiah complex. I doubt if I'm alone in this. I'm convinced that it's my job to save the world, at least those within my orbit. We live as though it's our job to fix all that is broken with this world. We live as though it's our job to right all the wrongs, perhaps even to bring heaven to this earth. It seems as if a lot of times we confuse our job, confuse our call with that of Jesus. Our call is not to save the world. Our call is to point to the one who already has. As John is standing with two of his own disciples, he cries out, look, there is the Lamb of God. Two of his own disciples then say, wait, that guy? And they start following Jesus. They leave John. And John's not like, wait, where are you going? No, he says, no, follow that guy. He's the one you're looking for. Incredible. John the Baptist points to Jesus and his disciples follow. They become Jesus' disciples, as we find out. And then they go and they tell their brothers, one of whom is Peter. Our call is not to save the world. Our call is to point to the one who already has. Now, I know how this works. I've sat in your place once. The pastor gets to this point in the sermon, and I think, wow, great. Live in your own little pastor world where pastor things in the Bible actually works that way. But can we come back to the real world? Can you join us, Pastor, back here in the real world where there are real problems that need real solutions and there are real people that actually have to fix them? Because that's not going to fix them. Fine. I know where you're coming from. I really do. I've been there. I still spend a lot of my time there. But this is my story. This one right here, this is a true story. It's my story. And I think it speaks into this. About 8 times a year, I spend a week as an on-call chaplain for a local hospital. And most weeks, they are very quiet. There are no calls, and I appreciate that because it's not fun to show up to a hospital when someone needs a chaplain. But not all weeks are quiet. I was called to meet with a man and his family. They wanted a visit from a chaplain because his cancer had spread. They were told there was nothing more that could be done. And I'll tell you, I was nervous walking into that room. What do you say to a man and his family who had just that day, learned that the cancer was terminal and were coming to grips with the fact that the end was coming very, very, very soon? Fortunately, got all this figured out. On my way to the hospital, I figured out the perfect introduction, the perfect icebreaker. So, heard you got some bad news today. I literally said that. What kind of idiot says that? Yes, this idiot. The room, it soon filled with family members who thankfully hadn't kicked me out. And I'm talking like it's a clown car kind of filled, this room. There are kids and grandkids and in-laws and outlaws. They are like stretching all along the back of the wall, out almost into the hallway. I didn't see it for sure. I'm pretty sure they were filled into the bathroom. Some of them, they were sitting on the toilet. I can't confirm this. It's probably true, though. His wife was standing there by his side. He looks around the room. He tells me, look at these people. He tells me how much his family loves him and how much he loves his family. And he's smiling. He's just smiling. This man's body is riddled with cancer, and he's looking at me in the eye, and he's smiling. He's content. And I'm standing there wondering, the idiot pastor that I am, what does this guy know that I don't? And then it occurred to me, perhaps the better question is, who does he know? This dying man from his hospital bed was pointing. He was pointing to Jesus. He was pointing to Jesus. He was doing it for his family members. And the knowing look in his eye, he was also pointing to the idiot pastor who was standing right there beside him. He knew that I needed someone to point me to Jesus in that moment, and he did. I thought I showed up to that hospital thinking that I had to come up with these brilliant words, words that would set this man and his family's mind at ease, as if I could do that, that would somehow make this all better for him, that I would be able to save him, as if I can save anyone. I mean, that's why they called me, right? But this man's confident, reassuring smile snapped me out of that Messiah complex very quickly. I wasn't there to save, duh. I was there to point. But you see, I wasn't the first one in that room to point to Jesus. It was him. And he reminded me. And it was from that place, because of him, that I was able to point. At that point, it was simple. I just pulled out some words from Paul's letter to the Romans. Who will separate us from the love of God in Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or sword or famine or nakedness or peril or cancer? No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who saved us and loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. My dear siblings in Christ, this is our story. It's a true story. Our call is not to save the world. We couldn't if we tried. Believe me, I've tried, we can't. Our call instead is to point to the one who already has. And guess what? When we point to Jesus, we see him too. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.
The words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand. Church.
As God's beloved children, united in Christ, let us pray for the church, the whole human community, and the well-being of the earth.
Just God, you gave us your Son, the Lamb of God, who did not lead armies or seize power, but called disciples, healed the broken, and laid down his life for the world. Embolden leaders and all those in authority to seek justice without violence, to pursue peaceful resolution to conflict, and to use their power to protect the vulnerable. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Healing God, you lift those who are bowed down by trouble, oppression, or illness. Especially this day, we lift to you Mary Lou, Joe, Caleb, Linda, Sally, Ed, Jack Jr., Pastor Tim, Tony, the family and friends of Mary Ann, those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer lists, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Faithful God, you promise to be with us always. We remember with gratitude those who now rest in you, especially the faithful departed of First Lutheran Church, and those who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Strengthen us to the end that we may see you face to face. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Confident, then, that the Holy Spirit receives our prayers and answers us, we commend all for whom we pray to God's loving kindness made known to us in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Let us pray. God of majesty, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what you have prepared for those who love you. Yet in this meal, you reveal the wideness of your mercy. Use what we have gathered to feed us with the rain of God. Come near. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you, for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Thank you.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Radiant God, we have seen your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In the sacrament of his body and blood, you have drawn us to your heart. Send us from this table with delight so that our lives may reflect the beauty of your love and bear witness to all we have seen and heard. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. I have good news. We have catechism today. I have better news. We have it 2 weeks from today, too. they're not all clapping. The first thing we'll cover is proper church attire, which includes when it's winter, wear socks, dude. Man, I didn't have any. Oh, blame it on your parents. A continued theme from the day, your idiot pastor. So, I say I will be out of the office this week, from Tuesday, January 17th to Thursday, January 29th. That doesn't make any sense because that's next week. The this week part of it is correct. I will be out of the office from Tuesday to Thursday this week at the Ohio Rostered Ministers Gathering in Columbus. I'm sure we'll learn about something mind-blowing. And yeah, whew, rowdy bunch. I will be available for any pastoral care emergencies during this time. So there is an announcement in your bulletin about a woman's Bible study / book study. Please take a look at that if you're interested. The details are there. And then I think, is that this? Yeah, this coming Saturday, we have our community breakfast. Please consider gathering and joining us for that. Are there other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Walk around, take people's money. Takes away the sin of the world.
You have come and seen his grace and truth.
Go now, following Jesus into the world he loves and pointing to
him. You will. Thanks be to God.